Business is sponsored in part by the UMaine Crop Insurance Education Program, helping manage their risks online at umaine.edu/umext/crop insurance or 1-800-287-0274.
And the time is 1 minute past 10 o'clock. This is Community Radio, WERU-FM, 89.9 Blue Hill and 102.9 in Bangor. Doing Business will not be heard this morning, but will return in its normal place next month. Stay tuned for WERU Special.
And happy birthday, WERU. And today, in addition to celebrating that, we have some good news. Good morning. This is WERU News and Public Affairs Manager Amy Brown with this special report and call-in show, because we want to hear from you as well, on the not guilty verdict that was handed down by the jury yesterday in the trial of six members of our community, three of whom we have here in the studio today. Others we will be hearing from by phone. We're joined by Jim Freeman, Dud Hendricks, John Krebs. Welcome. Congratulations.
Woo! And happy birthday,
WERU. Happy birthday.
And we're going to be talking with them in just a moment. They were arrested last year. They wanted to talk with Senator Collins, but never got the chance. But yesterday, they were found not guilty by a jury trial. So we're going to start by going back to our coverage of their arrests in March 2008. This is just about 2 minutes long. Yeah, we're going to go ahead now to the first report from the Occupation Project yesterday in Bangor.
Play the last criminal trespass order if you're done doing business for the day.
Sure.
Okay.
We're just starting to have a good conversation.
I know. She needs to go home, too. Would anybody like to leave at this time?
Do you have them?
All right. Officer Collins, please. Lady under arrest.
Your
person.
There are ways.
If you just take her outside with your ID, then come outside.
There are ways to find the truth. Ask her to want the truth. She can find it. We do.
That's Pat Wheeler as she's being put up by the police. If you were listening to WERU yesterday afternoon, you know that 12 people engaged in civil disobedience at the Bangor offices of Senator Susan Collins as part of Project Occupation, a national effort to convince legislators to end funding for the war in Iraq. What you're hearing in the background is the sounds of some of them being arrested. The 12 were charged with criminal trespass and were released later last night on bail. The 12 people who were arrested are Dud Hendrick, Henry Brown, Doug Rollins, Nancy Hill, Diane Fitzgerald, Peter Robbins, Judy Robbins, Pat Wheeler, Maureen Block. That's the sound of plastic handcuffs you hear there in the background. Jim Freeman, John Krebs, and Rob Shetterly. And we did speak with them extensively yesterday afternoon. One thing that you didn't hear yesterday, however, was that Senator Collins did issue a statement on Iran and the possibility of war in Iran. And so we're going to play that in just a moment. You're hearing them being led off into the police cars now and the crowd reaction outside. Chanting Patriots for Peace. And back now live to the studio with three of the defendants, John Krebs, Dud Hendricks, Jim Freeman. We also will hopefully be hearing from some of the others by phone, as well as Attorney Lynn Williams. But again, congratulations to the three of you.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
And there's so many elements of this case to talk about. I'm just going to put it out there to the three of you to decide where you want to start with this. They're pointing at Dud.
Well, first of all, this is pretty tough duty. We're, of course, all terribly hungover this morning after celebrating all night long. No, that's not really the case, but we certainly were elated by the decision yesterday. As the proceedings went along through Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Monday, we had jury selection, which was a very interesting process. I'm not the experienced defendant that some of my colleagues can speak to, but the jury selection, I think, was very critical to the whole process, critical to the outcome, and we will probably talk more about that as it goes along. But then we began trial on Tuesday morning, and it proceeded through until I think it was about 1:15 or 1:20 that the decision finally came down yesterday afternoon. Three of us were representing ourselves, and three were represented by our very greatly appreciated and honored counsel, Phil Warden and Lynn Williams. We are, as a community, I know, goes far, far beyond just the 12 of us defendants, our 12 of us who were arrested, who are so grateful for the two of them.
I'm going to interrupt you there, Dud, and get back to, we'll continue with that in just a moment, but we do have a phone call. I believe Lynn Williams is on the line, and she's calling in from a conference, taking a break to call in and make a few comments. So welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Amy.
And I don't know if you're listening earlier. We have John Krebs, Dud Hendrick, and Jim Freeman here in the studio with us. And I know that you just have a few moments. So maybe you could say a little bit about what you think was the key element in the non-guilty verdict in this case. How did that happen?
Well, I think there were a lot of elements. Most importantly, the defendants were sincere and honest and credible, and I think very much impressed the jury. We had, I believe, a very fair and open-minded jury that we were able to pick through questioning them very specifically and sort of weeding out people with bias, particularly against civil disobedience. And then we had a fair judge. I mean, many of our lines of questioning were in fact objected to, and some of that was upheld by the judge, and she kept things moving along, but she gave good jury instructions, clear jury instructions to the jury about what their role was and what the standards they had to look at were, and in a general sense, I think, as the DA himself said today in the newspaper...
Right, I was going to ask you if you'd seen that.
Yes. As Chris Ami said in the newspaper today, Mainers are fed up with the war.
The quote is, this is from the Bangor Daily News. The quote is, "I think that the public in Maine is so disgusted with the war in Iraq that they demonstrated their disgust with this verdict," said Ami, a Democrat. And the quote continues, "And they are upset with Senator Olympia Snowe and Collins for getting us involved in this debacle," end quote.
Yeah, it was incredible, yeah.
So, there are a lot of different elements of this. I think that whenever I ask the defendants about what was important in this, they're saying that you all were great, and you all are saying that they're great, and nobody's wanting to sort of take the honors of having done a fantastic job. But it seems like coming together, that there was a very important synergy there, that things just worked out well. The lawyers, you had two different lawyers. We spoke about this yesterday, both of whom were fair, which seems like it should be the case, but isn't always. The jury selection, I know there's one other element of this that you were able to use that you thought might be something that others could use in similar cases in the future, about the questionnaire. Do you want to say a little bit about that?
Well, you know, typically when you're picking a jury, this is in general throughout the country, what you want to get to is who are the jurors who can be open-minded, can look at the evidence without bias, and then can hear what the law is, and then can fairly apply the facts to the law and come to a decision. So the key thing there is weeding out the people who can't do that. In Maine, jury selection is typically not nearly as sophisticated, and research has shown this, published research, not nearly as sophisticated as in some other states, in particular the larger states like California and New York and Illinois. And so what happens is it's more of a crapshoot. It's harder to learn about the jurors and who they are than it is in other places. So, you know, you get who you get frequently. There are very few people in this state who do sophisticated jury selection. And I've always thought that there's a real opening there, particularly when it's not a run-of-the-mill criminal case, but rather a case where there are interesting issues involved and where it's conceivable that there could be significant bias.
So what did you do in this case that was different?
Well, we were able to, the judge, it was a different, the trial judge was not the judge who did the jury selection with us. That was Justice Anderson, who was formerly a district court judge and now on the Superior Court bench. And he allowed us to create a written questionnaire that asked people a series of questions about their attitudes and experiences with civil disobedience. And then for anyone who answered on that written questionnaire that they either thought the restrictions on protest and disobedience should be tightened up and or that they had previously been inconvenienced by a protest, demonstration, or strike, he eliminated all those jurors from the jury pool. So right away, about 25% of the jury pool was eliminated without us having to ask them any further questions.
Which was huge to
this
have.
This is Jennifer Freeman. Go ahead.
Huge.
Yeah. Lynn, I just want to point out one little thing. Yesterday we were called the Bangor Six, or with the other six people that did the action, it was the Bangor 12. But in my mind, it was really the Bangor 14, because you and Phil have your roles. We all have
Phil
our
Warden,
roles.
The other attorney.
But you were every bit a part of this right from the beginning as the rest of us. And so I really want to give you a lot of credit because we look to you guys, but this is how you fit. It's like a play. We have an act. Everybody has a role in the play, including opening the curtain. And you and Phil have been there consistently. You're really part of the group. You're not separate. I don't consider you my lawyer. I consider you my friend, but I consider you my compadre in these type of things. And I think you guys did a really wonderful job.
Well, for lawyers, thank you, Jim. It really means a lot. From a lawyer's perspective, and to be a radical lawyer, these are the sorts of cases that keep us doing that sort of work. Obviously, we have to pay the bills, so we do what we call the straight work, you know, the estate planning or the real estate work. But that's not what our career is, really. You know, that's our job. But our career, really, and our calling is to do this sort of work. I've already gotten a number of emails from attorneys around the country requesting the questionnaires, the jury instructions, and, you know, state law differs somewhat, but there are general principles there that they can apply to their own trials.
And I want to mention at this point, too, in terms of the national significance, Free Speech Radio News probably would have been doing a headline on this piece, except that they are running a May Day special today. This really is a story with national significance. We haven't heard back from Democracy Now! Yet. Maybe they still will. But this was also part of the National Occupation Project, which we can go into a little bit later. But I know your time is short, Lynn. Did anybody have any other questions or comments for Lynn? Or Lynn, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
No, nothing from me.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Great
Thank
job.
You again,
yeah,
Lynn. Really great you
job.
And
have
Phil.
A good show.
Okay.
Talk to you all later. Bye.
Thank you. And we're going to go back to the folks that we have here in the studio. I'm going to give out the phone number in case any of you want to call with congratulations or questions or comments. The number is 1-800. Nope, that's the pledge drive number. I'm not used to being on this side of the wall anymore. I'm usually over where Joel is. The number is 1-866-625-9378. So, Dud, do you want to pick up where you left off? Do you remember where you left off?
Of course not. But I would like to mention something that Lynn had brought to my attention early this morning when she first saw the Bangor Daily News online, and that is there is a poll online, www.bangornews.org, regarding the public's reaction to the decision yesterday. So we're hopeful, certainly, that listeners will go to that poll and weigh in.
And vote whether or not you agree with the decision. When I voted, the voting was at 51% to 49%. 9%, so it was running pretty
really,
close.
Really? I didn't even know there was a poll.
Okay. So vote, man.
Looks like we're getting a couple phone calls coming in. We do have a caller on the line. Go ahead, if you could give us your name, where you're calling from, and then go ahead with your question or comment for the defendants.
This is Gray from Hancock.
Welcome
Thanks
back.
For the show. I just wanted to say, and I'd like to hear the your guest's response. This could be extremely significant. I remember during the Vietnam War, things really started to change when the court started letting protesters protest. And it changed the character of the thing, and it meant the tide had turned, basically. And this is what this decision could mean, in my opinion. And I congratulate everyone who was involved in the effort and all of the other efforts before that. And I urge everyone to come to WERU this afternoon to celebrate 20 great years. This is a great anniversary present. Anyway, thanks a lot for your good work, and I hope I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gray. And it was considerate of you all to be acquitted in conjunction with our 20th anniversary.
Well, we tried to time it that way.
We do have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, if you could say what your name is and where you're calling from.
Yeah, hi. This is Lori from Stonington, and congratulations, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
I have a question, and that is, did Susan Collins, did she have to press charges, or did she have a choice in the matter?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because I tried to bring that out in the trial. And, in fact, Susan Collins' office really wanted to dismiss the charges. And so what happens is a lot of little nuances that happen in a case like this, but Chris Olmney's comments in the paper were very political because he was the one that pressed the charges, not Susan Collins. I mean, we got arrested in her office, but they didn't want this to go forward. They didn't want the adverse publicity.
Yeah,
and so
sure.
I kind of smell a fish here a little bit, because he puts off these, you know, really politicizes as far as Democrat-Republican comments in the paper this morning. And even his choice of a district attorney to represent, you know, to put the state's case you know, was questionable. So there's a lot that goes on, more than we, as the days unfold. We'll find out a lot, and we'll kind of put a lot of this together.
And for those of you who, I'm sorry, let me just finish that quote there, because I think it addresses your question. Excuse me. Almy goes on to say, quote, "At this point, we're going to have to consider the precedent that this verdict sets, and we may very well have to consider giving these cases to the U.S. attorney to prosecute, because the state court case may preclude successful future prosecutions."
And that was my next question. I heard that quote yesterday, and I wondered what he means by that. Does that indicate that he thinks you would have been convicted in a federal situation?
It just puts the cost and the burden on the federal government, not on the state. In other words, a trial like this is very expensive for them to put on a defense, and that eliminates that. It brings it to a higher court, which I'd be very happy to go in front of.
We do have two other callers.
Okay.
Dud wants
I'll
to comment off. On that, and then we'll take
Thanks.
The next call.
Yep. Bye.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Laura, that I think that does speak to the precedent that has been set here, that Almy is going to be reluctant in the future to take on these cases, and it's very relevant to plans that are going on right now with regards to this next round of appropriations for this war that I understand will be entertained or
this is Dud Hendrick.
Entertained during the session in Congress next week. I think it's $142 billion or something like that they're looking for, maybe more than that.
$172 billion.
Well, in any event, there are plans to visit Congressman, perhaps soon-to-be Senator Allen's office down in the Portland area in the coming weeks with regards to that appropriation. So those plans may be impacted by this decision and the result of those plans as to who, if anybody, will press charges against people who might occupy that office.
And we do have two other callers on the line. But, John, did you want to comment on that last question first?
It occurred to me, too, that a part of the strategy may develop if the state's unwilling to prosecute under state law and wants to put the burden onto the federal government. It's possible that, you know, I think we would have to consider where their offices are. I'm not sure if their office itself is considered a federal space, because some of the offices are in private buildings. So that's an interesting
development. Senator Snow's office is in a private building, not the federal building. Okay, so we do have another caller in the line. Go ahead, caller, with your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Dan in Bar Harbor. I just want to thank these heroes telling we're all in their debt for putting it out there on the line. We're really proud to have people in our community doing this for us. And I know that they are living by Dr. King's words. The time has come when silence is betrayal. We must all protest. And so I, for one, am very grateful, humbled by their action, and so happy that they came out ahead. So thanks a lot, you guys.
So are we.
Hey, Dan, thanks an awful lot for those remarks. That brings me to Jim's remarks a few minutes ago regarding how large this community of people are who have made this possible. It really isn't just the 6 or the 12 or the 14 that Jim's referring to, but we have a huge community in large part because of the influence of WRU probably up here. But it was great to have all the support that we had in court yesterday, including yourself and many others. And We're hearing lots of word from around the state, and I'm sure that in the coming days, this is going to advance the cause all the more.
Well, you deserve it.
And in mentioning who those folks were, I want to correct the audio clip that you heard from last year. I've been meaning to jump in here and say it's not Henry Brown, although I may have tried to claim him as a family member. It's Henry Braun is the last name of one of the other co-defendants. Joel is signaling that we do have another caller on the line. Welcome, caller.
Happy birthday, WERU. This is Reverend Gerald Olson in Bangor. May Day is my favorite day. 122 years ago, International Workers' Day was founded when 340,000 workers went on strike for an eight-hour day, and now we take that for granted. And someday, because of what I call the Bangor 16, because I'm including Amy, war will be obsolete. We were thrilled by the verdict yesterday in Bangor, and we want to thank you and Matt and the rest of the WERU staff who've been right with us from the beginning, back when Richard Stander and Nancy Galland and others were arrested on the day of the invasion in 203. And we want to encourage people who want peace and justice in our land to join Veterans for Peace. And my president is sitting right with you, Doug Hendrick, who is president of Veterans for Peace in Maine. Join Families Speak Out, join Pax Christi, join the Peace and Justice Center, and let's turn the country around. We can't depend on the politicians to do it. We have to do it ourselves. And if people think we can't speak truth to power, tell them about the Bangor 15. If people in the peace movement get discouraged, tell them about the Bangor 15. And if people think peace vigils aren't worth going to, tell them about the Bangor 15. And as Doug told us last night, the president wants to invade Iran. Our work is not finished. Our work is just beginning. Lastly, Martin Luther King said, we may have come over in different ships, but we're all in the same boat now.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Reverend Jay. And as far as the WERU piece, I want to address that, because the reason that WERU can be there and that we send two staff people when we don't have volunteers available to go cover these things is because the community supports us, because we're not beholden to corporate interests, and because everybody in this room and in this building and out there listening is part of this. So
we love you, Amy.
Love you too, Reverend.
Bye.
Bye. The number again, 1-866-625-9378. Do you want to make any comments before we move on to the next caller?
Well, you know, I'd like to just to mention that there's a lot of work to be done, you know, and part of our defense had to do with international law, and I hope we get to just to talk about that a little bit at some point during the day, during the hour. But you know, Hillary Clinton is who just recently made the comment that's been pretty widely reported. But I think that the U.S. would respond to an attack by Iran on Israel with the power to obliterate Iran. And Iran today, I heard on the news, has responded by with a complaint to the United Nations. I'm not sure what part of the UN, whether it's the Security Council or the General Assembly. But the point is that what Hillary Clinton said is absolutely in violation of international law. And I think that people need to start looking at those precepts and taking their elected leaders to task for this kind of absolutely, it's not just irresponsible talk, but it's irresponsible action. And we need to change that mindset. The United States has to adhere to certain standards of international law, and these do not allow the use of force against sovereign states, and they don't allow the threats against sovereign states with the use of force.
Okay, you're listening to a WERU special. We have three of the defendants who were found not guilty by a jury trial yesterday, John Krebs, Dud Hendrick, Jim Freeman. They have been charged with criminal trespass along with three other defendants, and then six other people who settled their legal situation earlier for being arrested in Senator Collins' office in March of 2007. We do have a piece, which we're probably not going to have time to play today because the phone lines are just lighting up with people who want to call in and talk with you all. But for anyone who wants to hear a year ago what you all were saying in the senator's office regarding Iran, you can go to the WERU archives, weru.org. Just click on the March 2007 archives and look at the radioactive program for March 2008. At that time, we were commenting on how you all were talking about not doing what we were planning on doing in Iraq before that happened, and how here you were now trying to preempt something from happening in Iran. We have three callers on the line. Let's go ahead to the next caller. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Gray again. I wanted to clarify something. I think I didn't communicate completely my thoughts on this matter. Everyone, I kind of avoid the word hope because it can lead to disappointment. I rather take encouragement than hope from what's happening. And this is just the beginning of a struggle, though, because if this goes into federal court, they're not going to charge you with criminal trespass or whatever. They're going to get you under the Homeland Security Act the next time this happens, and it'll all be shrouded in terrorism and all of that kind of stuff. And the people are going to have to come out and protest this. I mean, this is the way it went in the 60s and 70s. That's the way it's going to go now. But this is a turning point, and that's what I wanted to communicate.
Okay.
But it's the beginning of a successful struggle, and success is in sight.
Okay, Gray, I'm sorry. We have two other callers waiting.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. And I'd like to hear, at some point, you know, the next step won't be as peaceful, perhaps, on the prosecutor's part as this one was.
All right. Thanks for your call. And I think Jim Freeman wants to address that before we take the next caller.
Well, it just brings back the fear issue. You know, they're going to do this. They're going to do that. I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm here with a big smile on my face. And, you know, I lost a little time work. I lost a little of that. But if we go in fearful, that's the place they want us to put in. And we have to overcome our fears. We have to face this. Federal court's not going to be that much different than than state court. And there's real people. There's real jurors. So we have an opportunity. I would view it much more as an opportunity. And they're going to do what they're going to do to us. So let them try. That's all.
All right. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead with your name and where you're calling from and your question or comment, please.
Hi, it's Fred in St. George.
Hi, Fred.
And I just want to say hello and congratulate our real representatives on this issue and probably every issue for standing up for what is right. And I was there yesterday and the day before, and hooray for our judicial system, which is imperfect, but it's a million miles ahead of what other systems or non-systems there is. So thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. Number, we do have callers lined up, but keep trying if you haven't been able to get through. The number is 1-866-625-9378. And go ahead, caller. The next caller is up.
Hello, this is Carol. I'm calling from Hope.
Hi, Carol.
I live in Hope. And I just want it's nice to be able to honestly say that. I just wanted to thank the defendants once again for their incredible hard work in doing this. This took a lot of persistence and difficult hard work. And I wanted to thank WERU for being there, because without this station, it would be so hard to connect with each other and get the information we need, as you all know. But I wanted to make sure that people realize, I haven't seen this in the articles and I haven't heard it mentioned, that it seems to me the entire reason why all of this became necessary is that Senator Collins has refused for years to meet with us. And I belong to a group of military families, and, of course, some of the members of our group have just endured horrific experiences over the last 4 years. And she will not meet with us, and she has routinely lost or denied ever receiving letters, petitions, faxes, articles, DVDs, and other materials that we have sent to her and that other people have sent, so that we could have some sort of discussion with her about this issue. And I think the public needs to know that these people did not do this because they wanted to cause trouble or be provocative, but because Collins has failed in her duty to her constituents and her duty in her oath. And that's what I wanted to emphasize, and maybe they could talk about that.
Thanks for your call, Carol. Anybody?
Thank you.
Well, I'll jump in. It's I think there are many different ways to look at what happened yesterday and what lessons we can take from it. And maybe we can talk a little bit about two different issues that come up. And one is the rule of law. You know, the state has a position on the rule of law, and certainly all the defendants have a position, and it's opposite that, as to what constitutes a rule of law. And I'm sure I'd like to bow to my co-defendants maybe to talk some more about that. And but the second issue might be described as a First Amendment issue. It has to do with redress of grievances. We know that the Constitution, that the founders certainly intended people to have that power, to have that ability and privilege, and they protected it in the First Amendment. But it's more apparent than real if every letter, as Carol just spoke about, visits go unanswered. They never get back to you. They refuse to let you meet with the senator. They refuse to come to hold town meetings across the state just to listen to what their constituents have to say. Then where is the power that's protected by the First Amendment? It's a sham, and we need to find ways to work around that and put some pressure on these people.
Great. As John has pointed out and Carol has alluded to, it's been very difficult for us to get to Susan Collins at all during the course of this war. And there were a number of times we did call town hall meetings. They were incredibly powerful experiences, in spite of the fact that they were acting somewhat, or they were going on somewhat in a vacuum because our representatives were not there. It's incredibly relevant that something like 70% of the nation's population now, according to polls, is opposed to this war. We can only guess that thanks to WRU's influence in the state of Maine, that the percentage of people opposed to the war in Maine is much greater than that even. And yet still, our senators are not paying attention. And excuse me, I'm sorry, Amy. That, of course, made it absolutely necessary that we continue the procedure, we continue to occupy these offices. And as John mentioned earlier, we've got a lot of work to do. This is just one piece of a long campaign. And that campaign includes what's happening today, our opportunity to speak out again about this issue. And it included the whole process in the trial. It was, as we went through the trial, there were points when we were pretty pessimistic. It appeared that it may not go our way, and we certainly never had any guarantees. And we were sort of consoling ourselves, I believe, with the notion that, well, at least we're educating 12 people, 13 people really, including the alternate on the jury. And one of the jurors met with us, or actually two of them did, but one of them mentioned afterwards, after the decision had been made, that he had learned more about this war in the course of those 2 days than he had learned to date about the war. So that was very important, that at least we really did educate those 12 people in the jury.
Well, listening to their comments were amazing to me. The one woman I spoke to stated that we shamed her. I thanked her for her courage, and she said, no, you shamed us. After listening to you guys and your conversations and your testimony, we felt like, why weren't we there? Why weren't we doing more? Mm-hmm. And if that could have been, even if I was found guilty or whatever, the most significant thing we did is we educated that jury. We brought the war to people. They know it's a bit. They know what's going on. They know what's going on, you know, what's happening. And yet they felt, they kind of felt they had affinity with us, that they should have been there with us. And to me, that was unbelievable.
And it was clear, I was an observer on the first day, it was clear watching the jury that you were connecting with them on a real level as their neighbors, not some separate category people called protesters. Jim, you were telling a story about being at another occupation years ago and listening to a Red Sox game, which immediately brought out an objection, but it was too late because the jury was already laughing. They connected with that. You know, Dud, you talked about coaching lacrosse. John, you were talking a little bit about having a landscaping business. I mean, it was just that you're real people and that you're part of the community, not some separate group of people, and it seemed like they were just responding well to that. And before we take the next call, just real quickly, I want to mention the security people and the police seem to be testifying in your defense. Here are some quotes that I wrote down from their testimony. Nice group, easy to deal with, compliant, peaceful, very cordial, no issues, no problems. And one of them said, you had a mission. You wanted to pass along a message to the senator. Your issue was with the senator, not with the police. So
that's great.
And we do have several callers lined up, so let's go ahead to the next caller. Please say your name, where you're calling from, and then you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Debbie. I'm from Surrey. And thank you so much. I love all of you. And thank you, WRU, for covering this. I was wondering if you could explain the significance between the difference of the words civil disobedience and civil resistance.
Thanks. It's a good question because I got asked that by A.J. Higgins. Having been arrested a number of times for civil disobedience, usually we, in fact, are breaking the law. But in this case, civil resistance is that they're breaking the law, and we're trying to have the law applied to what's going on. In our case, Susan Collins has been complicit in the breaking of many, many laws by her votes in Congress and supporting President Bush. I have a hard time even calling him President Bush, but the Bush regime. But so there is a huge difference, really, because we didn't feel like we broke the law. We felt like they are, and we had to get that message out. And so that I feel like that kind of came out in court. We tried. Sometimes it's a fine little detail, but I think that did come across to the jury.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Debbie. And Doug Hendricks wants to address.
I would like
to
elaborate
well.
On that just a little bit. Thanks, Debbie. Thanks very much for raising the question. Through our preparation for this case, we had referred to a gentleman by the name of Francis Boyle's work, who is probably the leading scholar, judicial and legislative scholar on international law. And he makes a very important emphasis on that distinction between civil disobedience and civil resistance. He insists, and we, of course, firmly embrace the notion that we are essentially the sheriffs calling the lawbreakers on accountability issues. They're the ones that are breaking the law. So it was important to raise that distinction to the jury, and we did make every effort to ensure that we were being referred to as civil resistors and not civil disobedience violators.
Great. We have another caller. Go ahead.
Hi. This is David here in the Brooklyn area. I want to congratulate you guys and thank you for people, I shouldn't say guys, for doing the legwork for me.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, well, it's not the first time I've leapt in after Jimmy, but I'm ready.
That's generally a wise move.
You taught me everything I know, Jim. And, you know, I'm just so grateful, and I also wanted to remark a little bit on the coincidence of today. Not only is it WRU's birthday and May 1st, the day of workers' rights, it's also the day of the ascension of Christ. It's a little. It's funny that this has to seem like it's an off-center comment, but I think it's really important and significant that that particular thing happened on May Day of this year. What he actually did on Ascension Day was he said to the disciples who had been seeing him in the Spirit after his crucifixion for 40 days, he said to them, "Okay, guys, I got to go now. You're not going to see me anymore ghosting around here, and I'm leaving you to do my work now. You're the only ones that are going to be here in order to do what needs to be done." And it's just like that with us now. You know, we're the only ones that are here to do the work that needs to be done. And we've got the support of our brothers and sisters in doing it, and we've got the support of the right in our favor, and we've also got the support of Christ for what that's worth. And I think it can be worth quite a lot. And so I think it's a remarkable day today, and definitely one to celebrate. I began it by leaping over a fire, a Beltane fire, and, you know, it's a day that's all about taking leaps. To me, and you guys just, you know, have survived a really major leap, and I'm so glad and thankful for you for taking it and having the courage.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for your call, and we do have callers lined up, so let's go ahead and get to the next one. Go ahead, you're on this WERU special.
This is Dan again from Barbara. Let me sneak in here on something. You talked about the threat of war on Iran, and I just want to tell everyone that we in Bar Harbor have a petition to the town council to pass a resolution demanding that the government not attack Iran. If anybody who's a registered Bar Harbor voter will call me at 288-3916, I will bring them the petition so that they can sign it. Thank you. And while I'm on here, let me tell you that the vote so far on the Bangor Daily News is 58.6 yes.
Yes, right, agreeing that they should be found not guilty. That's at bangornews.com.
Yep. Great,
thanks, Dan.
Good.
Thank you.
And we do have another caller on the line, and we do have a couple phone lines free. So the number, if you want to get through, we have about another 15, 20 minutes, excuse me, is 1-866-625-9378. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with, hopefully we're talking with, if I don't lose my voice, John Krebs, Dud Hendrick, and Jim Freeman, three of the as they've been called, the Bangor 6 who were found, or the Bangor 12 or 14 or however many you want to put in there. But these folks were found not guilty of criminal trespass for some civil resistance that they did in Senator Collins' office in March 2007, speaking out against the illegality of the war and occupation in Iraq. And go ahead, caller, you're on the line. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Jeff Stonington.
Hi, Jeff.
And hi. And I just wanted to thank you all, especially Dud, who I know. Hi, Dud.
Morning, Jeff. Thank you.
Just for persevering and you know, doing such a great job. And I mean, I always hear about you guys infiltrating these offices and trying to get the word out. And it sounds like you're actually, you know, this is more success than what I've heard before. And I just think it's great that you're doing it. And the guy that said that this seems like a turning point, I think I agree with that. I think this feels like, you know, it might go someplace and make a difference. And I feel a little frustrated because the economy is so lousy right now from what these idiots have done to our country and put all our resources into the war that, you know, it's really, I know a lot of people that are struggling and, you know, it makes it hard for people to get out and do what you're doing because we have to, you know, really keep our noses to the grindstone and work hard to just make ends meet. And so, you know, that's an added thank you for filling in for what I guess I'd feel like I'd really like to be joining and supporting that more. But, you know, and I think a lot of people, at least in this community, feel probably the same way as I do. I'd say most people feel that way. And, you know, just great work and peace. And then the other thing is WERU, thank you guys just for being such a great support for our community. And, you know, you guys are great. It's a happy birthday and congratulations, everyone.
Thank you. And as far as WERU, there's no, it's all of us. So it's all everybody listening, all part of the community. So that makes it all possible. But come on down here this afternoon and help us celebrate.
Yeah, love you all.
Thanks.
Thank you again, Jeff.
We have another caller on the line. Go ahead with your name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Frank Donnelly calling from Lemoyne, and I want to send out my congratulations to the people there. And the next time, we don't want it to be the Bangor 15, we want it to be the Bangor 1500.
That's right.
We need a lot more people in this movement for some reason. A lot of people call in and talk about it, but to get, you got to put your light, like Jim Freeman said a while back, who cares if it goes to federal court? It's, you know, you got to almost put your life on the line. But the people who are putting their life on the line in these stupid wars, we need to put our life on the line to stop the wars.
And you say that with a veteran's perspective, don't you, if I'm not mistaken? Frank, aren't you a veteran for
peace? Not a war veteran, but I was in the military from 66 to 72, but luckily I didn't make it over to the war zone. Most of the time I was in the stockade for refusing to participate in that crap.
Good for you, but Frank. Thanks.
Thanks for your support, Frank.
People need to stop paying for this stuff, too. I mean, everybody kind of, at this point, probably knows I'm always beating the same drum about taxes, but, you know, don't pay for it. It's always a money-driven thing. Money, 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 money. You know, which a reality, obviously, we all need it. But stop paying for war is my preaching. And if you're all there this afternoon, I'll see you.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
See you, Frank.
We have another caller on the line. If at any point you all want to jump in here and say anything, please do. I'm just going through the callers, but it looks like Dud wants to respond to that last one.
Just quickly, I want to emphasize the point that has been made a bit. I tried to make the point yesterday in my closing statement that our institutions have failed us, the media fails us, the military fails us because they're abiding by the government. The government certainly has failed us, and yesterday, for a change, the legal system didn't fail us. But it does fall to us people. You know, Rob Shetterly keeps making the point in the opportunities that he so often rightfully has, and he did in court, that it has been the activists, the citizens who have made the difference historically in our country. It's turned it around when it needed to be turned around. It helped, you know, it really brought about the civil rights movement. The people actually stopped the Vietnam War, and it's the people, once again, who must make the difference. So, again, it's got to be the Bangor 1500 and more. We've all got to do more.
Yeah, and I thank Frank for doing that. You know, a lot of people are on the Obama bandwagon or the Hillary bandwagon. You know, they're looking for somebody out there to change things, and that's not going to happen. It's going to happen when we decide to change things. And so I just encourage all the listeners to take actions, get involved with the group. It's been said earlier, you know, there's affinity groups, there's peace action groups all over. Get out, get active. It's well, it is a little challenging. It's also a lot of fun. We've made some really wonderful friendships through this. There's just incredible people, and you know, and take the little steps, incremental steps. But sure enough, if you hang out with me, we'll be in the federal building again.
And that would be Jim Freeman. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Magnus. I'm calling from Blue Hill.
Hey, Magnus.
Hey, Amy. And major thoughts out to ERU and Jim Freeman and Rob Shetterly et al. I would like to echo the caller from MDI who was horrified by Hillary Clinton's pledge to completely obliterate Iran. And I think we need to let our representatives know that not only that sort of rhetoric, but that sort of thinking is absolutely horrifying. I don't think I've ever heard an American politician make a more brutal statement. But also, I wanted to know what the status of Susan Collins' bill, Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Act, is.
John, you look like you're nodding. Did you know anything about the status? I have a copy of that on the wall in the other room, but I don't know the current status.
I'm not aware. The last I knew was probably 8 weeks old, the information that is basically just languishing in a committee, that they're not taking any action on it. But people need to be aware of it for sure.
Well, if that bill had been enacted, probably the Bangor 14 would not be with us anymore.
We'd be in Guantanamo as we speak.
You know?
We don't know how long we're going to be with you as it is.
Well, thanks again, anybody.
Thanks,
Magnus. And the number, we have time to just take a few more calls. The number is 1-866-625-9378. And we have another caller on the line. Go ahead. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what would you like to say?
Hi, this is Pat Wheeler. Hi to everyone.
Hi,
there.
Pat. Pat's one of the Bangor 12.
One of the Bangor 12 or 14 or 15, however you're stating it. First of all, congratulations to the gentleman there who carried this out to the end point, which happened yesterday, and the fine results that we had and their persistence. And
hey, Pat, I want to interrupt you for a minute. I do want to make it clear that we know that it would have been the Bangor 12 or the Bangor 14 or whatever it was if personal conflicts, hadn't precluded those of the rest of you from actually pursuing it all the way through. And in no case did any of the others that weren't able to take it to trial, none of them had admitted to any sort of guilt. It was all a case of pleading no contest simply because their schedules, their commitments precluded their pursuing it through to trial. And that included you, of course. And thank you, Pat, for all of your work.
And you have been with us right from the get, Pat. And we really love you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I just wanted to say to people who were listening that the process is a long one, and there are many days that we were very discouraged, and it requires that you have a lot of persistence, but also working with a great group of people, and we have just magnificent lawyers who work pro bono for us, and it makes all the difference in the world. But Dud and I also have worked with a national group in Washington who do civil resistance, and we're in constant contact with them, and I was speaking with Max earlier today about that, and I want people to realize that there are groups all over the country doing this same work, but we have not been able to get our foot in the court system with international law, so I consider this a very important moment. So congratulations, everybody, and it's a moment to celebrate. There's so few, but I feel like it was a very high moment in my life. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pat, for your call. John, did you want to say something?
Sure, I'd like to jump in. I think that at some point we should realize, too, that international law becomes domestic law under Article 6 of the Constitution. And people need, you know, not just people, but, you know, the assistant DA in his closing arguments against us, he referred to it as us claiming certain privileges or obligations under international law. Actually, through Article 6 of the Constitution, we're claiming these privileges under domestic law, and it flows right from the Constitution. So I just think that should be part of the debate, part of the discussion, and that people should take into account the such things as the authorization to use military force that Congress voted on that gave Bush that Bush uses as an excuse to do what he did. That also flows back to the War Powers Act, 1973. People should take a look at these documents and make up your own minds as to whether or not those documents themselves are in violation of international law and therefore domestic law.
John, you are a great example of a citizen doing his work. John is just an amazing history person, and I've learned so much working with him. Thanks, John.
Pat, thanks. We're all in this. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
We do have a few more callers. Go ahead, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Sydney from Dover Foxcroft.
Hi, Sydney.
I'd like to thank all you guys for making the sacrifices that some of us didn't have the ability to take the time out to do this. I wanted to bring up a related subject on the Real ID.
Go ahead.
Are you there?
The last time I went down to the federal building, all you had to do was walk through a metal detector. Now, apparently, you have to show a photo ID. And evidently, all citizens are going to be regimented in this way. And it's there's a petition drive that's just starting in Maine. I don't have the information on it. If anybody does, I'd like to hear about it defeat the Real ID stuff that's coming down from the federal. We're going to require a internal passport eventually, and it's restricts our freedom of movement. And I'm opposed to it.
I think you
little
can get
chips
more
in the head.
Yeah, I think you can get more information about that at mclu.org.
It just started. I listened to Maine Watch on NPBN yesterday, and they distinctly skirted totally around the whole issue, and it was a whole legislative show. I guess the ACLU will have the information. Thank you.
Yes, MCLU as well. Thank you, Sydney. I think we have time for one, maybe two more calls. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead with your name and where you're calling from and then your comment.
Hi, all. Mary Kelly in Sandy Point. Jim, I'm the wild woman who contributed a couch, I'm hoping, to all of your meetings.
Couch.
Listen, 2 points, guys. Number one, to the voices of the many voices, Susan Collins does not consider we the people her constituents.
That's right.
Number two, this war is not bought and paid for. It is on a credit card to China and beyond. All right. Thanks so much for all of your
good points.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Mary. Do we have another caller on the line? Okay, we've got time. If you call fast at 1-866-625-9378 to get one more brief comment in. Otherwise, while we're doing that and waiting for that, we're going to go around and have any final comments from Jim Freeman, Dodd Henrick, and John Krebs, who are here with us in the studio. Speechless?
Well,
John Krebs.
Never.
No, I've spoken enough, but I would urge people. I feel a great debt to WERU too, and I think people ought to consider what they do and consider making financial contribution to keep this thing going.
Thank you, John.
And I just was really proud to be involved with this entire group. There was great camaraderie. I think that came out in the courtroom. There's love. There's kinship. But there's a future for us to keep persevering and go on together because we're tough to beat.
Yeah, we're sort of riding the crest of a wave right now, and we're all extremely pleased with the way things went. But, you know, it was the whole process and reflection was really a lot of fun, and I think I would have felt that way if I were sitting in jail this morning also, because the synergy, the community that is so apparent, it made it just a delightful experience, and it totally was a team effort in the courtroom. John was one of the first to testify, or rather to make his I guess it was within the testimony that Lynn had given you, and he made it clear that here were compassionate, sincere citizens who had really made the effort to educate themselves, and it just set the tone. And from then on, it was just so much fun to be engaged in it. And of course, the outcome finally in the end went our way, which made it all the better, but it would have been fun in any case.
I think we gained strength as we went along, and that was having our comrades out in the audience with the smiling faces and just knowing we had all the support, including WERU, was huge.
Well, thank you all very much for being with us today, and we will archive this program on the Internet, so if you're listening to this and you know of someone who might have wanted to but didn't get to, go ahead to our website. I'm also going to put up a link to Eric Olson, another WERU volunteer, has a blog called The Maine Owl, which I think is maineowl.blogspot.com, but I'll correct that, get it on our website. You can see pictures and video and YouTube video of the actual arrests and the actions, including Rob Shetterly's drawing pictures of Mainers who were killed in the war in Iraq on Senator Collins' office. Not right on the walls, but although. You've been listening to a WERU special. I'm Amy Brown. Jane Haskell with Doing Business will be back next month. Meanwhile, come on down here and help us celebrate 20 years of community radio made possible by the community, and that's you. This afternoon, we're having a big party here, so come on down here, live music, eat food, meet each other, and join us here on your community radio station, WERU-FM, 89.9 Blue Hill, 102.9 Bangor, and streaming online at weru.org, a voice of many voices.
Wee 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 wee.